This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The Australian Bureau of Statistics will be giving all eligible Australians the opportunity to express their view on whether Australian marriage laws should be changed to allow same-sex couples to marry. Survey forms will be sent to all eligible Australians on the Commonwealth electoral roll. To participate, you must be enrolled. To enrol, check or update your details, visit the AEC website, search AEC or visit an AEC office. The roll closes Thursday, August 24. Authorised by the Australian Bureau of Statistics, Canberra. Spoken by Jake Downs.
Joy sponsor.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
From News Limited, motoring, senior, what's your title, Gaver?
Whatever you feel like, Macca. What did you call me the other day?
You won't Doyen? Say that on radio. Doyen.
Guru.
Paul Gaver writes for Cars Guide, also writes for a number of other publications, been in the industry 40-odd years, Paul?
40 years last year.
40 years. 41. So, do you have a question for him, Neil?
Yes.
But
it's sort of a retrospective one.
Yeah.
I've only in the last week, Paul, my wife and I have bought as her car a CX-5, Mazda CX-5. What should I have bought? Don't say not the Mazda.
You should have bought a CX-5. For me, as a motoring journalist, having a car for a week or 2 weeks or a little bit longer and being able to give it back, I'd have a Volkswagen Tiguan. If I was actually paying my ad money, I'd have the CX-5. So you made the right choice. But I expect no less. You do actually know usually what you're talking about when it comes to cars.
I took it for a weekend. I was really impressed by the, and it's the Akira, and it's got all the safety gear on it. I normally drive a Benz, a C250, and a wagon, and it had really the same safety, or very similar safety gear on it. You know, the brake, the automatic emergency braking.
Safety braking, emergency braking, brake assist, all that stuff, yeah.
Geez, we've come a long way, haven't we?
Well, Mercedes-Benz has come a long way. The bloke sitting next to you will probably be looking like the cat that ate the cream or something. But basically, a lot of that technology has come out of Mercedes-Benz, and Benz has had a policy for forever that they give away safety patents. So instead of having to pay a royalty to use that stuff, they let other people use it straight away. And it goes back. The first time I can remember that is in the 80s with anti-skid brakes.
Yeah.
And I think What happens is that companies that have got a lot of money and a lot of experiences like Benz, they go off and develop these things, and then the trickle down these days, it's not even a trickle down, it actually cascades through the safety world these days, because safety has become such a big priority with a lot of people.
I'm interested, PG, Paul, to we've had another, you know, pretty strong July. The car market, the motor vehicle market in Australia is very strong. I know that it's, in my 11 years on this side of the fence and the 10 years on your side of the fence, I've never known it to be more competitive.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It's tough business out there.
Very, very hard.
Sorry, go on.
Well, I was about to say that it's not a demand-driven market. It's a supply-driven market.
Mm.
If you look at the demand for how many cars people want to buy, it's probably in the 900,000 a year range. We're going to buy probably 1.2 million this year. The rest is people being lured into the market with special offers, and that's pricing and discounts. It's cheap finance. It's things like seven-year warranties, 5-year and 7-year warranties. There are a lot of reasons to go and buy a new car. And while ever the housing market is buoyant, people see that they can take money out of their housing loan or out of their finance package and get a car fairly affordably.
The thing that surprised me too, having just looked around a bit and bought a car, was the pricing. I mean, my wife's been driving a Liberty wagon for about 8 years. 7 or 8 years ago, we bought it new, and I think it was about the same price for the CX-5. Now, that's extraordinary,
correct,
over that period of time.
Well, yeah. In fact, the car affordability has never been cheaper. If you go back through history and actually work it out on the number of it's the average weekly earnings or something, is the multiplier that the government uses. It's actually the lowest it's ever been in terms of how many weeks of your average weekly earnings. Not that you two are on that sort of level of crimping and scrubbing.
Oh, unlock yourself. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The Salvos deliver food parcels to Paul every week.
The measure has never been, the value has never been better. And that's also because the globalisation of the car industry means we've got cars now coming out of giant factories. You know, Holden at its best, I think, might have made 200,000 or something, 200 and something thousand cars in Australia. There are factories that routinely churn out 500,000 of one product line these days. And so the cost of actually getting the cars built is much, much cheaper than it's ever been before.
And, you know,
technology allows them to do it much easier.
I think I've quoted this figure to you before, Paul, and I think Neil probably does, but for the listeners, a top quality ESP system, electronic stability control program,
yep,
on a car fitted on the production line is less than $200.
Really?
Oh. Now, ESP has saved millions of lives. Now, it is dependent on decent tyres, brakes, suspension and car dynamics, but $200
yep
is what it costs.
Yep. Have I got that on my Nimbus?
No,
I don't
know.
So.
I've got a 1987.
No, your Nimbus needs to go to heaven, I think. When ABS first came out on the S-Class Benz, Macca, they were talking about it being a $2,000 price tag for it.
Yeah.
Because the computer processing, to get that fast computer processing those days, cost an absolute fortune. And the sensors, which now, sensors cost nothing. They're like 20 cents.
Mm.
You know, they were lots and lots of money. And the interesting thing about all this is we're arguing at the moment about autonomous cars and when they're going to come and who wants them and all that. I'm a disbeliever in all of that stuff because I think it's going to take forever to actually get the world switched over, that sort of thing. But what's going to make that happen faster than I had hoped is that all of these sensors become much, much cheaper. You know, the stereo cameras that are in cars now that are looking around that work a whole lot of safety systems, LiDAR, you know, the radar, all of that sort of stuff will become much, much cheaper, the same as ESPs become cheaper over time.
One of the things I discussed a couple of weeks ago in New Zealand with James Goodwin, the head of ANCAP, there was an FIA board meeting in the region and I went over to talk about road safety. One of the most concerning things is that car manufacturers sell cars in developing markets that are one star or less, and they sell the same car in Australia with extra safety equipment and it's five stars, and it's got to stop. The Australian design rules, Paul, actually don't. ANCAP is so far ahead of the Australian design rules in safety. Do you think, you know, people used to say safety doesn't sell cars, it now does, but what does government and other and even media have to do to make people more aware of the safety technology that's out there that they should be looking at?
But people don't care, Macca. At the end of the day, it has to be built in. There is no way, and I know this from working in the car industry myself, people are not going to pay extra for safety stuff. They will make a choice between two cars that in the same price range. One has more than the other. But if you ask them, they all think they're the world's best driver and they're never going to have a crash.
Mm.
So they don't need all this stuff. And most of the stuff that's coming now is beyond their understanding anyway. Like until you've actually driven a car with lane keeping assist system, which actually steers you back into your lane when it thinks you're going to sleep. Now that we've got past the beta system, which was pretty awful and tried to kill me, but let's set the subject. But the fact of the matter is, most of this stuff is invisible until you're about to have a prang. And some of it is, pardon me saying it, bloody awful. Some of these automatic braking systems, I was driving around a corner near my house last week and there was a car parked against the curb. My car did a panic stop because it thought I was about to collide with a parked car because of the angularity. So there's a long way to go. But forgetting about that, the only way this is going to happen is by governments mandating it. People are not going to pay extra for it. People are not going to go and demand it because they don't know what it is, they don't know how it works, and they all think they drive well.
Yeah.
That's the problem I have with it. And the whole thing about, you know, the argument about putting one-star safety into India or Pakistan or somewhere, you know, so it saves them, what, $200
yeah.
on the car. That, I mean, that's just disgraceful. That's a World Health Organization issue.
It is.
It needs to be escalated to that sort of level.
Yeah.
But the thing about ANCAP is, the Australian New Car Assessment Program, it started off just smashing cars into walls and finding out which ones fell apart and which ones didn't. And as we found out fairly recently, Chinese vans still fall apart
yeah.
when you're all whacking into a wall. But the thing is, until there was an independent arbitrator, the car companies said, our car's safe. And there was no proof. Now, just recently, I was trying to get an ANCAP rating on a Porsche Panamera. And you say, is that important? Well, somebody who buys a Porsche Panamera it is, but also it's a way of checking the system works. But there is no ANCAP rating, either in Euro or European or Australian ANCAP rating, on the Porsche Panamera because the car costs too much. You know,
yeah.
you need to, and you're right, we need to keep the TV car companies honest with the stuff that they're selling into India. But it also needs to be 100% regime so you can compare like with like all the time and get on with it. But, you know,
right.
I've been driving Mazdas lately that don't have reversing cameras in them. $20-something thousand, they don't have a reversing camera, and their argument is, oh, it costs too much, we can't hit our price point.
I know.
That's just rubbish.
It is.
Taking the piss.
Now, we've actually run out of time, Paul, I'm sorry, and we did have a listener that said, I thought I was listening to SatMag, not a Mercedes ad. I didn't want you to talk about my brand, so you've got me in trouble now.
Oh, you didn't ask me to talk about your brand. The fact is, Macca, whether we like it or not, Mercedes-Benz is the global standard for safety. Volvo will tell you they are, but, I mean, I've been to all of the safety labs around the world, and the three-pointed star still leads world. So if you're talking about safety, unfortunately, you have to refer to the benchmark.
Oh, you're getting me in more trouble. Oh.
God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you, Paul.
It's a pleasure, always.
Great to talk to you again, and we'll have you back on again in a few weeks.
Yeah, and you've got to get rid of that Nimbus, but you did well with the C5.
There you go.
Thanks, Paul.
All right.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.